and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Okay, listen, if I can sell more tickets, we need to do a proper photo shoot of Hal's junk. Here we go. Let's just get the lighting going here. Yes, here we go. Oh, yeah. Yeah, let's get these out of it. Let's the Twitterverse immediately. Mama's got to sell some sexy liberal. There we go. Yeah. Do it right. Get some good pictures. Oh, yeah, that's good. Yeah. Yeah, work it for Mama. That's my boy. Yeah. Oh, okay. Oh, look, it's Wednesday.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? Hump Days with Hal Sparks.
Yes!
Yay! You know, we're in Hollywood. We're going to do it right. We're going to get some makeup, some lighting.
Absolutely.
We're
going
to get some really good shots of Hal's package out there.
Thank you. Yeah. And they're not going to go out over Twitter. Sorry. There are just certain things that deserve a Facebook photo album their own.
Hello. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Flickr.
Listen, I don't mean to be cheap and,
see what I did there
and exploitative, but I'm just saying, the fact there happens to be naked pictures of both Hal Sparks and Aisha Tyler on the way, I just think it has something to do with the tickets to the Sexy Liberal Show flying out the door.
Oh, yeah.
Just saying, that and your tight pants, according to reports. I seriously, I think someone said that it would have to be considered a skin graft already, by the AMA, how tight Hal's pants were.
Really?
In Raleigh, Durham, yeah.
No.
Jackie.
Go ahead.
Jackie, the childless loser from Fargo, North Dakota, writes, Steph, I have tickets for the Sexy Liberal Show in Minneapolis. Next up,
yep.
June 18th, hurry, get your tickets. We'll be sold out by the time we get there.
That's true.
Be in row 5 or something like that, close enough to see. Anyway, I'm wondering if Hal wears those tight pants for every show. Is photography allowed during the show? My birthday is June 19th. I can't think of a better birthday gift than a picture of Hal in those pants.
Yes. Well, they won't be the exact same pants. I have several pairs of stretch jeans I wear, you know.
And by the way, Jackie, if you won't be childless when Hal leaves Minneapolis.
That's true.
History is any guide.
Yes. Spontaneous
impregnation.
Ovulation can occur. It does happen. And yes, they are not, contrary to popular belief, jeggings. And it's jegging?
Right.
Yeah, that's what
that's a thing?
I was accused of wearing jeggings by a couple of people, which are, are...
They're just really tight pants.
Which are tights with jean seams painted onto them.
Like those pajama jeans.
Yes, right.
Okay.
No, they are not those.
We said yesterday how we're like the anti-Kevin Meaney tour. We're tight pants people.
We are tight pants people, absolutely.
Yeah, we're not big pants people.
Yeah, no. These are... I wear the pants that I wear so that if I'm ever being chased by a state official over a chain-link fence, nothing will get snagged, then I will escape.
He's seen cops.
I think ahead.
Give the dog nothing to grab onto.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I can't get it.
Yeah, you can't.
It's too tight.
Do you throw the Pabst Blue Ribbon cans at the cops?
No, I have I have caltrops made from Pabst Blue Ribbon cans that I toss over my shoulder that will pop cock tires. I also learned that from... I learned that from Dog the Bounty Hunter. Not from him personally, but just from the show. I got a lot of ideas watching that show.
All right, kids. Lots of excitement. We have a big show for you today. We have Paula Poundstone, speaking of comedy royalty. We
really big show.
And a whole other long list of guests and topics and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm.
However, the big... I know, the announcements, it's like an avalanche. They're just sexy liberal announcements avalanching on each other.
Yes. Amazing.
And Hal Sparks in Edinburgh for all of August. So just announced yesterday that apparently there was screaming and crying and gnashing of teeth and Ticketmaster... Maybe should be renamed Ticket Mediocrity.
Yeah, they're not so masterful.
While to get their together
in
Detroit yesterday. But ladies and gentlemen.
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA.
Can't forget the motor.
On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugelsang, Aisha Tyler, and Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy teeth.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
Yeah, all right. Thank you, Shana.
Oh, Lordy.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So, kids, and we will have, I believe, several more major announcements by the end of the week. One is involving, apparently, the mama has caved on something. Very.
Yes. But
I have snapped under the pressure.
You have.
Yes.
Just the guy who's trying to kill you for the insurance money is now trying to kill you for... packing auditoriums as well, because that's clearly, that just happens everywhere we go.
Yes. Thank you for everybody. We have a lot of sold-out situations. And so, I would hurry. Go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook, find out how to get. And there will be some more major announcements.
You're all right. You're going to be fine. Just
all right.
Breathe.
Yeah. So, Anthony Weiner, obviously, Helen, this may have been a girl thing, but...
Uh-huh.
As a chick, I knew immediately. I said, who doesn't know when they take a picture of their own? And I get whenever Breitbart's involved, you're like, eh. Did you actually hear him say yesterday, I'm doing this for his family?
Oh wow.
Shut up.
Right.
You horrible
right.
excuse for a human being.
Right.
I'm sure that's your main concern.
Yeah, of course. That's why you would drag it out into the public, as opposed to just let his wife know, I suppose.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, that's what I would do.
And this is public blackmail, isn't it? Oh, I've got another one. I've got an X-rated one. And, you know, I think he said, if he starts coming after me again, I'm going to release. That's blackmail.
Right. That is blackmail.
That's technically blackmail. Why is he not being arrested for blackmail?
Yeah.
Why is that?
Rachel did a great thing last night. You know, you can cite a million of them. David Vitter. I mean, it's like, really? He just, without question, should resign immediately. And David Vitter, John Ensign. And John Ensign, somebody, I think, what's his name? Reince Priebus?
Yes.
But you know I have a new 2012 Reince Priebus.
You do.
It replaced my Chrysler Cordoba.
It only goes in reverse.
Right?
Yes.
It's a regressive car.
It backs over itself.
But, But anyway. I was just saying, I don't, I think he was saying, I don't want, John Ensign, he honorably resigned. No, he didn't. He was about to get all of this stuff revealed and expelled, getting, what do you call that? Expulsion. Expelled from the Senate. That's when he stepped down.
Right.
I mean, I don't know.
Well, look at Mark
David
Foley.
David Vitter. Oh, well, that's for the voters to decide.
We found out that Mark Foley... They'd known for 12 years that this guy was, sending inappropriate messages to pages and the like. 12 years he was protected in this bubble. And it wasn't until it came out that they drove him out. And this is a guy acting – these are children. This is not, Anthony Weiner interacting with women that are of consenting age who are interested as
All of it completely legal.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
And Mark, they had his back for 12 years.
And I have to say this is the difference. Again, you don't hear me defending Weiner for a second on all of this. But I'm just saying the point is, we are just different as Democrats. Number one, you have to point out we're not the party that keeps claiming family values and moral values and the moral high ground and, gays are immoral and, all of that stuff. So there is the hypocrisy angle.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also the angle that look at how Democrats are acting. We throw ours under the bus.
Mm-hmm.
Or Republicans stand behind them no matter what.
Right.
I mean, we were saying yesterday how what...
Mm-hmm.
First of all, with John Edwards, we all threw him under the bus immediately.
Yes.
Horrible douche nozzle of a human being. And and that was like the third level.
Yes.
I don't know what ring of hell there is, but the third level of douche nozzlery under Schwarzenegger and Newt Gingrich.
Which is something.
Right.
And
we've gotten numb. At this point, you would have to actually be procreating with a porn star on top of your dying wife in her hospital room for it to be any worse.
Well, and there's no point where John Edwards will ever be able to run for president via the Democratic Party in the future.
Right.
Whereas Newt Gingrich, less than whatever, 10 years later, is right back up where, in consideration.
Exactly. So. How was he able to run for president with any credibility? And Republicans don't seem to. That's what I mean. There is just such an incredible double
standard. None of that question comes up.
Yes, fellow Democrats pointedly refused yesterday to defend Representative Anthony Weiner, telegraphing an unmistakable eagerness for him to resign after he admitted sending a lewd photo of himself to a woman. Harry Reid said, I wish there was some way I could defend him, but I can't. Asked if what he would do if Weiner called him for advice, he replied he would tell him, call somebody else.
We have that.
Oh, you do?
Nice.
Well, then why did I do extra work there?
I don't know.
I know Congressman Weiner. I wish there was some way I can defend him, but I can't.
What advice would you give him if he asked you?
Call somebody else. Okay.
Yeah. That's funny.
That is funny. that's about as funny as Harry Reid gets.
Right. Well, I think that's because Harry Reid is old enough to not know the difference between texting and calling, and he's just afraid he'll get a weird picture.
Yeah, he's like, it's...
I'm worried that I might get a naked picture over the phone. I have a dial-up still in the house because I don't trust those buttony things.
Yeah, it's just a rotary
phone. I'm 72. And we just don't do those kind of things.
Speaking of phone sex, he was asked whether he had phone sex. I think it pretty much sounded like. He sidestepped. He said, I was never in the same room as them. I never had physical relationship whatsoever. It sounds like that was both.
Well, yeah, he said he had talked on the phone to a few of these people.
Yeah.
Well, sending a naked picture of yourself via text is a form of phone sex.
It is.
Yeah.
It's just not as interactive.
It's not talky-talky.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's not jibber-jabber.
Who needs that talk stuff?
No, no. It's...
Can I just say, as a woman, we like a little more, a little more left of the imagination, a little more, where's my romantic? It's a little more like romance, a little more, theater of the mind, like what you're going to do with that particular thing. We don't really need to see it.
You know what?
I need to kind of figuratively, what are you going to do with it? And how naughty have I been? Stuff like that.
Sure.
What? Huh?
What? How will
did,
you?
Did
I don't
you
need
just
to
give
see
us a window
it
into your?
It.
Yeah.
It
how
ruins
to sex
the
with
see
Stephanie?
The, oh, you're like, oh, now I've seen it. That's not.
How,
I don't.
How naughty? To sex with Steph?
Yeah. How naughty?
101.
That's right.
Yeah. Actually, that's not fully true. A lot of women will insist upon.
Seeing it?
Yeah.
Really?
Or
they want to see it before they...
Not before.
Like a car or something?
No, usually...
I need to see it. I need a test drive.
I don't want to have to give a class on sexting, ladies and gentlemen, but I will, Learning Annex. I've got your number.
Yes.
You do not send naked pictures or provocative pictures even to someone you have not already been in the room having sex with.
I think that goes without saying.
Exactly. Yes. That's a secondary thing. Everything is verbal up to that point.
More sexting tips with Hal.
Thank you.
And trust me, he's like
a font of information.
He's the sex master.
I got
kneel
sexy
at the
phone
altar
business.
Of King Hal next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-1-2.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2. Jane in New York on Congressman Wiener. Hi, Jane.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
I'm just calling, obviously, from New York. And I'd just like to say that, Congressman Wiener has been a real champion of the people of New York and has really been a passionate and eloquent defender of our rights, and I just, he's done a fabulous job, and I'm not going to defend what he's done. It was obviously very weak and pretty stupid, but he's never been one of those politicians who is constantly harping on
right or, family
you know,
values
kind of pass certain legislation about other people's private lives and moral values. I mean, he's never been that kind of righteous or religious rightish politician, and
right.
So it's one thing when a politician is that way and thinks that he can legislate people's
right.
private lives.
Well, Jane, I think the issue now is is this a private matter between he and his wife, or again there's these ethics rules that did he step over in terms of using government equipment? What was the story yesterday about whether he offered PR help for a woman to lie from his own office? I mean, there are
right.
rules that I guess we
right no and obviously that gets into a different territory for sure, but mm-hmm. I mean, I think until that is resolved, I think obviously that this is a private matter between, his wife and himself,
yep.
and And, you know, obviously that may be looked into and certain will be. But until then, I just hope people don't, you know, jump to hasty conclusions and call for this person who really has been quite a fine representative. And I know, you know, the people of New York have been incredibly happy with the work he has done.
No, I mean, the tragedy that I think, Jane, is that he really is such an amazing and unique progressive voice, and I think a fighter for, you know, people's rights. So that's why, you know,
it's particularly
disappointing. I know what you mean. All right, honey. Appreciate it. So we asked if he could guarantee whether that there was no X-rated photo of an existing self. He said, no, I cannot. So,
yeah.
What difference that makes at this point, but.
Right.
Hal, did you have more sexting tips for us? Because I think that's a very important public service.
I do. Okay, first of all, never use Twitter as your sexting source.
Yes.
If you get flirtatious on Twitter using DMs, which is direct messaging on Twitter, which is private.
Yes.
Get each other's phone numbers carefully, and then do that texting on your own, because it's too, as Haley Williams from the band Paramore found out, it's far too easy to accidentally try to DM somebody a picture of yourself topless and send it out over your regular feed.
Rot roll.
Yeah. It's very easy to do that, especially because the Twitter page itself used to be very, it messed up a lot.
Listen, I just learned how to blind copy last week, so you don't have to tell me.
Yeah, really? An
what
email?
The hell? Yeah. Yes.
Email's is like the Latin of electronic communications, and you're just figuring out how to BCC somebody?
You know, I sent it to you yesterday, the party I'm having for Shelley Wright. I sent out, first of all, there were 17 copies of the attachments of the invitation, because
Wait a minute, I removed 8 of them. Did more appear?
I don't know. See what happens? You can't control the interwebs. They control you.
I don't know. All I know is I opened it, and there was a camera in your house. And I could see everything that was going on.
Oh,
that's how bad.
I don't know how that happened.
I don't either.
Wow, she does show prep in the nude.
Yeah, that's right.
Well,
GTK. Yeah. And she's going, well, Max and Fred aren't wearing clothes. Why should I? So she had a collar on and not much else, and it was fine. So do not sext via Twitter. And if you're going to do naughty Facebook messages, again, don't do them in your normal news feed.
Right. And also, I thought that was very key before the break, is don't send a picture of your phone until the person's actually seen it and used it.
Because exactly.
Otherwise, it's... You know, if you're already intimate with someone, that's different than, oh, well, looky there.
First of all,
it's not, to women, it is not like a bouquet of flowers. It's like, oh!
You want to see it because it's a memory. Women only want to see it.
You can't present it like flowers before.
Right.
Yeah.
It's like a sense memory exercise in acting. Only if they've seen it and experienced it should they ever have to see it again.
Yes.
Because it doesn't work.
If they've gotten pleasure from it.
No.
Then it'll be like seeing an old friend. Oh, old friend.
No.
Otherwise, it's the creepy stranger in a raincoat.
Exactly.
What the?
It's always bad news. An unfamiliar penis is always bad news.
Exactly.
It's always, I don't care.
That's going on a t-shirt. Hello, Zazzle. 29 minutes after the hour. Deborah Berger, co-president of the California Nurses Association, joins us next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Wow, there are all kind of manner of crazy monsters in here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Oh, not since I stood with the California nurses and teachers and gave Arnold Schwarzenegger the political enema of his life. Have I been so delighted to welcome Deborah Berger, co-president of the California Nurses Association and the Council of National Nurses United. Good morning, Deborah.
Good morning.
You remember that?
Yes, I do.
You were special interests?
I do, and we were absolutely right, and he was wrong, and we proved it.
Yikes, and has he gotten his karma since then?
Oh, yeah, he has.
Wow. So, you know, I know that a friend of mine was just about 800 of you in D.C. talking about this economy and how it's affecting the health of the population. Talk to us about what you guys guys were talking about there?
Well, what we were talking about is that we realize people are in isolation. They're almost invisible, like cellophane people. When you go into your community, you really almost don't see it because everybody kind of looks normal unless you're from, say, Stockton in the Bay Area or Detroit where you can actually see whole communities that are vacant. But otherwise, if you go into the grocery store and things like that, you see people that you think, gee, I guess maybe I'm the only one that's really having a hard time and my house is foreclosed and all of that. So we want to highlight the fact that we need to put a face on that and tell people that it's not their fault that they're in the situation they're in. The companies and Wall Street want to pretend that, you know, people got into this mess because they made poor financial planning decisions, but that's really not the case.
Well, and Deborah, I think, you know, what many of us have talked about, but you guys have seen more acutely, is how it's all connected, that, you know, the medical crises are the biggest form, you know, reason for bankruptcy, right,
exactly.
And or foreclosure. I mean, it's all, right.
Exactly. 75% of the foreclosures, I mean, of the bankruptcies in the United States are a result of medical bills and trying to get medical care for their family and loved ones. So we have a program that we believe we're going to be taking to the streets, and it's called the Main Street Contract for the American People. And it's an RN's registered nurse's idea of what we can do to make life better for Main Street. The Wall Street's gotten plenty of bailouts, but just the everyday worker has been left behind in this.
Well, you know, and interesting, I was reading, you were talking about children, you know, you see extreme angst in children now, anxiety disorders, because obviously when parents are anxious, that's going to filter down when you know, we're in such a tough economy.
Well, exactly, and the fact that kids really aren't getting the food that they need. You know, they kind of look healthy, you know, and there's this big focus on obesity and exercise. But, you know, when you can't afford to buy fruits and vegetables and, you know, the really higher priced pieces of meat, you go back onto your starches and things like that and fats, and they tend to be cheaper. And
right.
So people kind of look like they're okay, but they're really not.
Mm-hmm. Deborah, what is your interest in your take on the Affordable Care Act and how that's helping or not, and how, you know, quickly that's all going to kick in?
Well, we are glad that some kind of health care reform got through, and some people will benefit, but we believe it just hasn't gone far enough. We believe that there really should be Medicare for all. There's nothing magic about the age 65, and we believe that it really needs to go further. And what this health care reform did was permanently give insurance companies customers by making it a mandatory program. So we think that a better mandatory program would be Medicare for all.
I couldn't agree with you more. And Deborah, you know, just sort of curious, I know what I think of this, but you're certainly an expert. What do you think of Paul Ryan's Medicare plan to, you know, give vouchers instead of...
Well, it's a certainly a sure way to make people extremely poor and totally destroy all of our social safety nets, when in reality that does not need to happen. America is not broke, and if we go forward with the campaign to reinvest in Main Street through a financial transaction tax, then we think that that would be money that could be raised to provide health care, maintain Social Security, and maintain jobs at living wages. And it's very, very simple.
What do you make of the argument that I, of course, the right wing is making that, oh, it's the Affordable Care Act that's making insurance companies raise their premiums?
Actually, they knew that they were going to have a captive audience when this program went through. And so what they did was they said, and because there are no regulations that actually cap the costs in the healthcare reform, they can pretty much charge whatever they want. You know, there's, quote, oversight, but that's, you know, like having the fox watch the hen house. So it really isn't fully regulated.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know. Well, I'm out here in California, and I have Blue Cross, Blue Shield, you know, and, mm-hmm. and it's just, you know, you pick up the paper and go, what? You know, they're thinking about raising the rates. What? 50, how much?
50, up yeah. to 59%. Wow. They have raised their premiums up to 59%, and it's not because they need to make you know, to barely just get by. They are already making billions in profit. So they're just taking advantage. They're, you know, really not looking out for us. They're looking yeah. out for their bottom line.
Yeah. Well, listen, and I have to provide insurance to, you know, really sort of some extraneous subordinate employees like my producer, Chris, over
hey.
Here. So is it truly illegal to fire someone so you don't have to pay insurance anymore? Is there any way to just dump him off the insurance thing entirely?
No.
Well,
yeah.
See, yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. the employers will use any kind of way they can
sure.
to cut costs. In fact, there are now some counties that are saying that they won't hire you if you're a smoker. You
right,
know, and
right.
That's, again, blaming the victim because mm. smoking is an addiction.
That's
and
right. Chris,
have,
you smoke, don't you?
I quit a year
oh,
and a half
well,
ago.
Oh, well, good for
yeah,
you.
But see, that's the thing is that they say, oh, well, you used to smoke, so,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. we're going to.
Yeah.
But
what
the thing is if we had Medicare for All, we could get people into smoking cessation programs
yeah.
rather than focusing on the habit or the addiction, focusing on how to cure it.
Yep, absolutely. Deb, so, always great to talk to you
yeah.
From the California Nurses Association. Thanks so much for all you do.
Okay, and look for our website, nationalnursesunited.org, for our
yep.
Main Street campaign.
Yep.
I will.
And we have a link to it up at stephaniemiller.com.
Awesome.
Perfect.
Thank you, Deborah.
Okay.
All right, there she goes. Boy, you were this close to...
You're fired.
I know,
yeah.
right?
I'll find another reason to throw you under the bus.
I actually quit 2 years ago. You knew that.
Hmm. I'll find another reason. I'll find another reason.
Right. Oh, you quit smoking. I thought
yes.
you quit this job and you just won't leave. Or like, she won't let you
she
go.
Won't let, I'm chained.
Yeah,
yeah.
right. That I believe,
I'll
actually.
I'll find another reason to throw you off the bus like a sack of oranges. Side of the freeway.
That's the spirit.
I got to get rid of the dead weight, for God's sakes.
And they say liberals aren't comfortable with the free market.
Yes. God
what
says,
could be more free
it's going to get a little freer around here.
Than
yeah.
slavery.
She...
Clearly.
All right.
That's the Paul Ryan budget right there.
There
I don't
you
even
go.
Know why we have a problem with it. Chain the workers to their desk if they try to quit and guarantee they don't get health insurance and take out dead peasant insurance on
yes.
them. So that way when they croak from the things you know you're going to kill them with,
yes.
you make money on the deal.
And if you're too weak, that... just die.
Exactly.
Just hurry
What's
up
so
and
hard?
Die. That's
yes.
the Republican plan, unless you're rich.
Oh, for God's sake.
Just die. Bring me a knitting needle.
All right. So we were talking about the economy during
yes.
the break.
Mm-hmm.
The president yesterday.
We don't yet know whether this is a one-month episode or a longer trend. Obviously, we're experiencing some headwinds. Gas prices probably being most prominent.
Mm-hmm. You think?
Yeah, a lot of people have the conspiracy theory that the oil companies, they're just with the president. Election, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you have one of the second biggest investor in Fox News, the Saudi prince,
yep.
coming on and saying, well, we don't want the West to be free of
yeah.
Oil. Why would we?
Yeah, right.
He's A, being completely honest, and B, if you've seen a picture of him, looks amazingly like a Bond villain from the Roger Moore era. He has
right.
a spectacular mustache
right.
and the most air-blown hair I've seen.
But you were saying during the break, held it.
Yeah.
It's true that everybody knows that jobs are always the lagging
indicator.
The
right.
indicator. And, you know, clearly, if you look at any graph or chart or whatever, we are going in the right direction. Is it good? Of course not. You know, was the jobs report good? No. But, I mean, it's, you know, and we argued this, we were talking about this yesterday, that I hate to say it, but Paul Krugman, who is, you know, pretty smart guy, was right on one hand that I think the stimulus should have been bigger.
Absolutely.
But, you know, we probably got past everything we could get past with the political makeup that we had.
There was no way the president was going to get anything bigger than what he got. And
right.
it's amazing in and of itself. Look at L.A. L.A., they're going to shut down a section of the 405, the biggest chunk of the 405.
We're not
yeah.
using that anyway.
Oh
That's
my God.
Fine.
Yeah.
It's not like there's traffic here.
Just between the 10 and the 101, the two other biggest freeways. And they're shutting it down. The reason they are is because they're adding two extra lanes, and they've carved out a big part of the highway. This is federal stimulus package funds
yep.
going straight to the state. We've got train stops being built on Jefferson, south of here, for
yep.
a train station that goes all the way from downtown to the beach. And that was impossible.
Yep.
Two years ago.
Right. Well, I mean, the problem is now we're saying it's just the Republicans are exclusively focusing on cutting the deficit,
right.
Which is, you know, any economist I think would say that's exactly the wrong thing to do with the economy where it is now. It's and so now the problem that's my fear. Is that that's the whole discussion. And, you know, we're looking on the TV today, but here we go with the debt ceiling again,
yep,
and we're
right.
not going to raise the debt again, ceiling, and that, you know.
The Republicans are renters. The Republicans treat the country like an apartment they can't wait to move out of. And their next big move, their house is in the Cayman Islands. They don't want to live here. They don't like the freedoms when they're extended to other people. They want
it's like me on the road now with the Sexy Liberal Show.
Yeah.
I can, because I'm, I own my house, so I just trash a
hotel room like crazy. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I can.
So that's how that couch got
in
that swimming pool.
Why pee in the toilet when you can pee on the furniture? You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's...
Well, like you have any control over
that. Around my house. So I'm just saying, just because you can, because it's not yours. You
right.
Can, you know.
Well, the furniture, your place is already just soaked.
Well,
all the
it's
wine.
Not mine.
Just,
yeah,
it's true.
Magic
wine and
friend.
Dog hair. Yeah. No, but in all honesty, this is when you have a mortgage and you're going, I'm going to live in this house for the next 30 years. You go, the roof is leaky. The weeds are growing.
Yeah.
And the pipes need to be refit. And I don't have a choice. I have to invest in this house. Otherwise,
yes.
The damn thing's going to collapse over time.
Oh, you know me, Chris. I'm incredibly anal about my house. The
yes.
fact that, you know, there's something needs to be fixed or whatever every other day. You're
right.
down there with a toothbrush. Oh, there's a little spot on the whatever.
Right.
So that's why the reason for me going on tour is just to go crazy. Just to go ape dump and just...
Right.
Just because I can.
And break stuff. Yeah, exactly.
Sick
awesome. Of my TV at home, so I'm going to chuck theirs through a window. Right.
I certainly hope this tape can't be used against me in any city that I've been in.
No. It's all... The statute of limitations on a trashed hotel room because of rock stars over the years is like 8 hours.
Sure. It was three shows ago. All right. 46 minutes after the hour. Much more on the economy and much, much more.
Mm-hmm.
Hump Days with Hal continues on the Stephanie Miller Show.
For a good time, call now. 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Turn it upside down. Love to hear.
Stephanie Miller.
Covered.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. Yikes! Box office going crazy in Detroit. With John Fugel saying, Aisha Tyler and I, August 20th in Detroit at the Opera House. Get it. Get your tickets quick. See, that's the thing. We're not hyperbolizing.
Mm-mm.
We are sold out in Los Angeles,
really
in Seattle, in Santa Fe.
Yeah.
And then people call and there's crying. And I don't want there to be crying.
No.
In comedy.
There's no crying in Sexy Liberal.
No.
Mm.
Okay.
Especially now. By the way, all these shows, you know what I'm saving up for?
What?
I'm doing all of these Sexy Liberal shows just so I can buy my own personal jetpack.
Oh,
you know,
awesome,
coming by the end of the year.
Awesome.
Did you hear about that?
No.
Personal jetpack.
A new gadget for you?
Coming by the end of the year.
Really?
Personal jetpacks. The guy who invented them, Glenn Martin, the inventor of the personal jetpack, said he expects his flying and traffic to go on sale by the end of the year. It's only 2011.
Remember, gadget boy over there is going to explode.
Commercial and government customers started lining up to purchase them, the jets, after a successful test flight in New Zealand in 2009, and it's really awesome. And the jetpacks, and they're going to have one, and they're going to be on sale at the end of the year. And then I'll be able to get here, like, really fast.
He's such an adorable combination of...
Geeky. I've always wanted one ever since I saw Evel Knievel fly one
totally.
In the 70s.
These are non-flame ones. They use two big propellers.
Oh.
So they can level out and fly straight, and then you land like
it's
a...
So Jetsons.
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited. And then... But, all right.
He's so adorable. You know, he left me... First of all, Hal Sparks, because he is a high-tech gadget boy,
yep.
He doesn't ever really use the phone.
No.
And
mm-mm.
So I woke up this morning and I had phone message from
what?
Hal Sparks.
That never happens.
And I felt all like giggly, like girls in high school must have. Like, Hal called me.
Yeah,
I was a little gelatinous mass.
Hal. I was just offering my assistance in any way that I could
were.
Because
mm-hmm.
we are dear friends.
Yes. I thought of you actually with this story because this might happen. If someone were to snatch your iPad when you were in the middle of a, or a, your whatever. iPhone if you were in the middle of Angry Birds.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. New York inmates ear bitten off over a music player. A jailhouse fight over a personal music player ended when a New Mexico inmate had part of his ear bitten off.
Whoa.
Oh.
And you're a sexy liberal and a peace-loving man, but if somebody were to interrupt you and steal one of your gadgets, I think there could be a...
Oh, especially after I was playing Death Rally.
Sure.
The Rock'em Sock'em Robot app or something like that.
Do they have one?
They have two new boxing apps.
I love Rock'em Sock'em
solid.
Robots.
Have you seen the ad for that new Hugh Jackman movie about the robot?
That is total
Rock'em Sock'em Robot movie. They just couldn't get the rights or decided not to call it that or something. But they knocked their block off and everything.
Yeah.
It's such a... Oh, bah.
You knocked my block off.
I'm taking my jetpack to a different theater that weekend. Harump.
You guys are having like a little geek boy frenzy.
We are having
I just feel like just sitting back and just...
You know what? That's the first thing I thought of when I
saw
that trailer.
It was a Rock'em Sock'em Robot movie. Uh-huh. And
I'm like,
how
did this many boys get in the fort?
Okay. Oh, my God. It's so stupid, too, because they make it look like...
it looks like an awful movie.
And it's soft music at one point. Like, we're going to teach this guy to win. He's a robot. Nobody cares. Shut up.
All right. We were talking about the economy. Austin Gloolsby is leaving the White House. We've had him on.
He was awesome.
Yeah, he's incredibly smart. He is going back. He will lose. He said he could lose his tenured position in Chicago if he doesn't return. So he's leaving the White House. He won the Funny Celebrity in Washington. Did you know that?
Oh, did you now?
Yes.
That's nice.
We had him on. He was delightful.
Even funnier than Herman Cain, who I think is hilarious because did you see that new quote from him? He says he will not sign a bill that is more than 3 pages long.
Well,
that's it. As president, that's his big stand. I will not sign a bill that is more than 3 pages long, mainly because my attention starts to drift.
I know.
And I can't hold it.
Yeah, pages are the...
Right, that's the indicator.
That's the enemy.
Yeah, not content.
No.
Dude, 330 million people, that's 110 million people per page that the bill should cover. And if there's any variation beyond that large, mass, soft grouping, forget it. I'm not signing the damn thing.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess you're not going to be able to sign the Pentagon budget every year?
Right. Yeah, exactly.
I think that's kind of done. That's only 6,000 pages.
The budget?
Yeah, the regular budget. Yeah, totally.
Right.
The
president on the economy.
Over 2 million jobs created over the past 15 months. A rebounding of the manufacturing sector in the United States that's exemplified by the recovery of the big three automakers here.
Yes. Hello. Hello, Detroit. Mm-hmm. That's a huge story. You know, the other thing that the jobs report, obviously not good, but you know how you still can look at that graph and help people get their heads around that we were losing 700,000 jobs per month when George Bush left office. It has gone steadily up. It's like, what do we add, Chris? What the jobs report was we added. Not a good number, but we're still adding.
Right.
It's still going in the right direction.
Yes.
It's one of those situations where a stock gets downgraded because its earnings weren't up to what analysts expected, even though it was in the black and doing well. That's one of the most annoying things about the stock market is one of the ways they undermine a decent stock is they go, it should have made... You know, $8 billion in profit, and they only made $6 billion, so I'm giving it a downgrade.
Yeah, right, right.
The company made money in an environment where nobody's making money.
Yeah.
It made money, and the same thing happens. They're still adding jobs, even though they're not adding as many as we would like.
That's what I mean. You have to look at, if you haven't seen that particular graph, what I'm talking about is how it's not just 1 month. If you look at the graph under Bush, losing kind of amount of jobs over and over, month after month after month, to the level of 700,000 per
What's
month.
Your point?
Yeah.
Hi, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Socialist Muslim, Kenyan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what if he's added more jobs?
And yes, George Bush got bin Laden. No, he didn't.
Yeah, he's adding jobs, but in case you haven't noticed, he's black. That's the point.
Right.
I'm trying to make care.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
that's the thing they can't let go of. And by the way, you're going to see that throughout. Now, I have my own feelings that perhaps... they know that some good job numbers are coming, so they're just riding this out for the time being.
Yeah.
Because once the big three start hiring again in bigger numbers, they've already announced that they're going to be.
Yeah.
And when they're adding those numbers by the end of the year, it's going to it'll boost those jobs that are already being added.
Yep.
To a nice number, and they know it, so they're just kind of riding these bad numbers out because closer to the election.
You know
how
I know Detroit's coming back? Because the tickets to Sexy Liberal Show are selling like crazy.
Yeah.
See how I brought that magically full circle back to me? Zach Walls is coming up next.
Yay.
Remember that University of Iowa student with the two moms?
Yay.
Oh, he's awesome. We're going to talk to him next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show in the midst of hump days with Hal Sparks. StephanieMiller.com, the website. SexyLiberal.com, the Sexy Liberal Show website. Check it out. Lots of big announcements. Big cities on sale. Get it. Go get it. And we'll have, oh boy, I think up to three more announcements this week. Okay, 1-800-STEPH. It's an avalanche at this point. It's not a show. It's an avalanche which will crush me to death. All right.
So one of these announcements will be your funeral. Right?
Yes. Yes. Where one, and hopefully, Jim, you will give the eulogy after I am crushed by a giant whale penis, which is my wish.
That's how you want to
I
die.
I want to have a funny death so that people have to laugh, even at my funeral. Because a woman was on a whale watching trip during mating season.
Yes, was crushed by a giant whale.
And got too close. Yeah, the boat got too close and was crushed by a giant whale penis.
I'm sure, wasn't Anthony Weiner?
You can actually be crushed from far away. You don't. There's no any close at all is too close to a giant whale penis.
And I would like the penis in a casket next to me, if that's at all possible.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think they're gonna,
using it.
Probably just going to be speared through it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, you'll just
and
have
Jim
to build the
to
casket
do,
around it.
Jim is going to do the eulogy as Kim Jong-il, and that is my wish. That is my final wish. Okay.
That has to happen.
Yes, exactly.
I might kill you myself with a giant whale penis just to see that.
There's a penis.
She was
there's
crushed by a giant cetacean weary.
Listen, I may have to force it to happen. There's a penis museum in Iceland, and there actually is a whale penis in there. So I may, because I am spazzy enough, I could just go visit and be. I wouldn't have
true.
To go to sea
earthquake
for this to happen.
Something.
I could just knock it over by accident.
There'll be a volcanic eruption, and it knocks it.
Sure. Yeah. All right, kids, we have important things to get to here. Do you remember Zach Walls?
Mm-hmm.
He was the Chris. What did you call him? The stunningly articulate University of Iowa student with two moms. He is the recipient of the Courage Award from LifeWorks. But I want you to remember, he was the. He spoke about the strength of his family during a public forum on House Joint Resolution 6 in the Iowa House of Representatives. Remember this? He has two moms. He came to oppose the House Joint Resolution, which would end civil unions in Iowa. Let's listen to
him. Good evening, Mr. Chairman. My name is Zach Walls. I'm a sixth-generation Iowan and an engineering student at the University of Iowa, and I was raised by two women.
What?
My biological mom, Terry, told her grandparents that she was pregnant, that the artificial insemination had worked, and they wouldn't even acknowledge it. It actually wasn't until I was born and they succumbed to my infantile cuteness that they broke down and told me that they were thrilled to have another grandson. Unfortunately, neither of them lived to see her marry her partner Jackie of 15 years when they wed in 2009. My younger sister and only sibling was born in 1994. We actually have the same anonymous donor, so we're full siblings, which is really cool for me. You know, and I guess the point is that our family really isn't so different from any other Iowa family. You know, when I'm home, we go to church together, we eat dinner, we go on vacations. But, you know, we have our hard times, too. We get in fights. You know, actually, my mom, Perry, was diagnosed with multiple sclerosis in 2000. It is a devastating disease that put her in a wheelchair, so we've had our struggles. But, you know, we're Iowans. We don't expect anyone to solve our problems for us.
All right. I had to play a little bit because, wow. My only question is, when are you running for president, Zach Walls?
No time soon.
Can't we forge a birth certificate for you like the president has?
No, I've got a birth certificate. It's sitting somewhere in Wisconsin. I was born in Wisconsin. I moved to Iowa. And,
sure you were.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Whatever, Mr. Raised by two women.
Whatever, Kenyan.
Kenya.
Yeah.
Right.
No,
now,
there isn't a father on the birth certificate, though, so I don't know. Maybe that disqualifies me. Hard to say.
Zach, first of all, you know, congratulations. You're getting the Courage Award from LifeWorks, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's you know, it's an honor and a privilege.
Yeah, well, I mean, people were saying. I mean, you just sort of shockingly eloquent for your. Are you 19 now or 20 now or what?
I turned 20 in July.
Wow.
So, coming up.
Wow, we.
Yeah,
so,
I'm kind of terrified to no longer be a teenager.
Now, the Life Out Loud party, that's it's Saturday, June 11th here at Paramount Studios. It's the largest annual fundraising event benefiting LifeWorks. But, I mean, it is amazing, isn't it, how that seems to be the biggest predicator of people being for gay rights or equality is that there's a human face on it. And that's
definitely
what you did, you
definitely
know?
You know, there was this incredible session out in Pennsylvania where you had about 100 people get together in a room and talk about gay marriage for almost an entire hour. And going into it, only about 40% of people supported gay marriage. And after the end of this hour-long discussion, almost 70% of people, after discussing it and meeting people who were themselves gay, you know, decided that they were actually in favor of marriage. It's really about meeting people and putting a face to this image, and that's what I was trying to do with the Iowa House.
Well, and you did it so well, I think. It's, I mean, don't you feel like this is just something that's becoming not partisan anymore when you look at, you know, members of the, I mean, it, first of all, it's generational. When you look at members of the Bush and the Cheney family and all that speaking out for marriage equality, I mean, this really isn't becoming a left-right thing anymore, is
definitely
it?
Definitely. I mean, the fact of the matter is that the most recent president, Republican president and vice president, both have daughters who are in full support of marriage equality, and increasingly, you know, Dick Cheney has come out saying that, you know, he's not opposed to gay marriage. The daughter of the most recent Republican nominee, Meghan McCain, strong supporter of gay marriage. And actually, at that exact same hearing where you just played that clip from, the man who spoke after me in opposition to House Joint Resolution 6 was a former Iowa state senator who had formerly introduced a constitutional amendment to ban civil unions and gay marriage in Iowa. And then he was now in favor of marriage equality. And that, to me, and he just recently started a group of Iowa Republicans in favor of marriage equality, Iowa Republicans for Freedom, and it's really incredible to see this shift. It's really inspiring.
Well, as you know, Zach, we're having this fight out in California right now with Prop 8, and I've obviously spoken to Ted Olson many times on the actual, you know, people in the suit itself, and every time I hear these people try to make their case on the other side, it seems so, like, dated and weak, doesn't it, whatever their arguments are?
Yeah, I mean, it's laughable. You know, I had the pleasure of meeting Mr. Olson myself out in Washington, D.C., and, you know, he was gave some remarks, and, you know, he said that ultimately when he was the judge asked the other lawyer, you know, what harm is going to happen to heterosexual marriages by allowing gay marriages to happen, and he just didn't have an answer.
Right. Well, because there isn't
one.
Any.
Yeah.
Humana.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, what are they saying in Iowa? What you know, when you've been up testifying, what is the other side saying?
Well, the biggest, you know, argument from the other side was let us vote, which is, I mean, at its face value, it's an understandable argument. But when you think about it a little bit more, the fact of the matter is the Supreme Court has ruled 13 times that civil marriage is a civil right, and you don't vote on rights. You know, they're God-given, constitutionally protected. Don't use your God to justify. Don't use my God to justify your hate. You know, it's this notion that, you know.
That just sounded like a T-shirt. I have to say. Tell you.
I saw that at a sign in Pittsburgh last weekend, and I loved it.
Yeah. I mean, Zach, it's really, you know, you're absolutely right. I think it's becoming now that, I mean, we have reached majority support for marriage equality in the country, and even out here in California. Mm-hmm. Now you notice the other side is not saying let's go vote.
Yeah.
Because
we're not quite there in Iowa. You know, just a quick correction. Actually, we've got full marriage out here. You know, my mom's actually don't have a civil union. They're like straight up married, which is terrific. And it kind of surprises people. Like, yeah, Iowa's got, you know, full marriage equality. People are like, what?
Yeah. Well, in Illinois, just like
Zach, not that you could really have much of a future being raised by two women, but what do you have some sort of plans or?
Well, you know, I'm currently studying environmental engineering at the University of Iowa. I'm actually sitting in the environmental engineering building here on campus. And I'm planning on doing that. I'm on the 5-year plan, so it's going to be a little while. Still got a ways to go, but I'm planning on being in environmental engineering.
And how did you do that with the lack of any male role model at all?
Yeah, no, it was really, really difficult, and it took a lot of really, really hard work, and it wasn't fun at all.
Your dry sense of humor is what I love best.
It's a ridiculous argument. The idea that you could possibly exist in a society without a male role model, like, in your life,
right?
Like, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and the fact of the matter is that, you know, whether or not a role model is male or female is really inconsequential. You know, my biological mother, Terry, was put in a wheelchair by a devastating autoimmune disease and has literally fought her way out of it. Wow. It's hard to ask for a better demonstration of courage than that.
Yeah, well, you know what? And there's a reason you're getting the Courage Award from LifeWorks, and you're just extraordinary. Thanks so much for taking time for us, Zach.
My pleasure, Steph.
All right.
Yeah, well,
there he goes.
Guys. I'm
right.
getting the Cowardice Award from Deathworks.
Yeah.
Showed him.
Way to go, Jim. Congratulations on that.
Death is way more important than life. It's more consistent.
Congratulations to Jim Ward for getting the Cowardice Award. We couldn't be prouder of our little boy.
Right.
All right.
Is Andrew
awesome
Breitbart
is he?
Actually presenting it to you?
Yes.
How awesome is he? See, now I'm. Now I've gone from gay to questioning. How old is he?
20.
20. He'll it's all 20. Right. I'm going to need elder care. All right.
Really? That's what you're shopping for now? This is like, let the right one in. Let me find a six-year-old. Since I'm immortal, I'll just find a six-year-old to raise to a 75-year-old who can see.
Why can't you support my dreams?
Oh, God.
Why? All right.
Of being a leech on an entirely new generation. Elder care. That's how I pick my relationships.
All right. StephanieMiller.com is the website. Victoria writes, Steph, I thought you might enjoy this. Sarah Palin quote, "We must never forget the wisdom of Jefferson and his wife, Wheezy." That's from Borowitz. All right.
George.
All right. Let's go to Buddy in Columbus. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Buddy.
Hey, Mama. Hey, a couple things. Number one, just as a joke, all men should remember never to Twitter their wieners.
Yes. Yes, I think that's an important tip at this point.
Yes. The second thing is, I am sick of the quote-unquote liberal media. The meme has gone out that, well, Obama's stimulus failed because we only put on 50,000 jobs last month.
Right.
Yeah.
I've heard that thing repeated on local news, national news. This morning, Joe Scarborough's giving it on. You know, I mean, what's better? Putting on 50,000 jobs a month or losing 700,000.
Yep, exactly. Thank you.
That's
math.
Again,
basic
that's,
math.
Yeah, again, that's saying a stock is a failing stock because it didn't reach the money that you said it should. Even when you artificially inflate
right.
that amount so that it couldn't meet it, yeah, it's stunning. And P.S., Joe Scarborough, never expect him to be balanced about any of this stuff. They, just because he's on MSNBC.
Yeah.
I mean, he's one of the worst.
Yeah.
Did you
see Chris Matthews go off on him
Forget
yesterday?
It.
He's like, this isn't a Scarborough show where you get to, you know, ask questions, too. Just answer mine.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
You can't just bully the women.
Gee,
you know
we should
why?
Have had that time slot. Hmm.
Oh, dear. Oh, Jim, don't make it about
Stephanie Miller.
You know how I hate that. Okay. Right back with more Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
That don't impress me much.
God, I hate that song.
And you are?
It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
We would know you because?
The whole
23 minutes after the hour.
The notion of that show is, I don't need a guy who's intelligent or treats me right. I need a thuggy, knuckle-dragging redneck who, who's ready for some emotional battery. Like...
Oh, dear. She needs to call Paula Cole about where all the cowboys have gone. It's all so confusing. All right. You know what? This is the kind of magic that my life is. You just never know what you're going to find in my inbox.
That's so true. I stand by that statement.
Last week, as you know, I got to do my Carol Channing impression to Carol Channing. I hosted a luncheon where she got a yes. Because I do sound like Carol Channing when I talk about me ex-friend and my dogs. Oh, wheel yes.
Whenever, probably as well as my doing Christopher Walken to...
To Christopher Walken.
No, to Kevin Pollak when he called in.
Oh, sure, right.
Oh, how awesome would that be? Except then he would just twist your head off. He's terrifying, Christopher Walken. at least Carol Channing, you can outrun her.
Wed.
Right.
Wow.
All right, so anyway, I just got this... they're inviting me to Carol Channing Larger Than Life, a documentary. I'm going to the gala premiere. They just invited me with other cast members. Wait for it. Lily Tomlin, Debbie Reynolds... Joanne Worley.
Oh, perfect.
My favorite things in life. Oh, my God.
That's kind of
Hal
amazing.
Sparks and Joanne Worley.
And she can still hit that note.
Well, if she can, I can fix it. Hello.
Hal Sparks makes women make that sound regularly. Mm-hmm. And Raleigh Durham, I was like, go to bed!
I
gotta get up! Shut up over there, for God's sake.
Yeah, they've now, we've talked to Roland. You're going to be on a different side of the hotel from
yes,
me.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
Dear God,
so
heaven.
You can make your own noises along those lines.
Knock, knock, knock all night long. Hal's room, next door. I'm sleeping. All right, let's go to Cindy in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Cindy.
Hi, Stephanie. Hal,
hi.
Chris, Jim.
Hello.
The whole lineup.
Yes.
You know, right now, you're talking about jobs, and right now these corporations are stockpiling trillions in cash, and they're not hiring.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And generally, they don't like to do that because it makes them ripe for a takeover, but nobody's taking over anybody with that cash.
Cindy, that is a great point. Doesn't that just irritate the bejesus out of you? Why aren't they hiring?
They're the job creators.
How much more profit?
And I think Jim might go for this. It's kind of a, you know, a conspiracy, but I think it's a reasonable one. They're not hiring. They're saying to themselves, we're not going to hire until we get the White House and the Congress we want. And they're using their lobbyists, like the Chamber of Commerce, the Republicans, and they're
and the corporate
arranging
media.
The, you know, the election.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, Cindy, I was saying I've heard that about oil companies, that they clearly are no fan of Democrats or the president. And you just think, gee, that wouldn't that be something if gas prices are a penny the day after we elect a Republican president?
What do you know? Which will, by the way, last for about
a week.
Yeah, six weeks. And then they will go back to jacking up, and that Republican president will protect those prices until they get up to be about $8 a gallon.
Yeah, the president on the
economic data that in better times would pass without comment. Mm-hmm. Now suddenly people wonder, well, are we going to go back to this terrible crisis? I'm not concerned about a double dip recession. I am concerned about the fact that the recovery that we're on is not producing jobs as quickly as I want it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Donna,
should have been bigger.
Yeah, Donna in Phoenix. Well, but also, you know, Jim, they're saying this latest jobs report had a lot to do with Japan and the crisis there as well.
Yeah.
Donna in Phoenix.
Oh, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How are you all today?
Good.
Spectacular.
Good.
I'm always happy on hump days.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, for more than one reason.
Yes.
My take on the jobs are, don't forget to factor in the swatch of the country that was taken out by tornadoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. That's...
Oops.
Did we lose her?
That just took out your phone line?
Probably still has melted someplace. We've got the fires in Arizona now, so it's, that factors in too.
Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't that predicted by those freaks who talked about global warming?
Yes.
As if that
yes.
was,
yeah, it doesn't
there
feel
no
any warmer.
Of, no.
Jim, it's cold in places on the Earth. That's
still cold.
Secondly, have you noticed the stagger stops in the economic growth that were quite smooth up until the midterm elections? And then all those jobs bills the Republicans didn't put forward when they were limiting a woman's choice or making sure gay people can't get married or making sure children who are recently born don't have health options. They were busy doing that instead of creating jobs.
Yeah. Speaking of health options, and we just talked to the head of the Nurses Association earlier, I think I have nerve damage in my hand from just doing that bit about knocking on Hal's butt. What do you call it? Hotel room door on the Sexy Liberal tour. Yeah, I don't know. That probably wasn't worth it.
That gag? I don't know.
I have a knocking sound effect. I don't know why I use my actual hand in that bit.
You have a recording?
I have that same problem.
Yeah.
You're falling apart.
I have nerve damage. I hope that was funny.
You're falling apart.
Ow. All right.
You're falling apart.
That's why I have replacement sound effects for almost every physical act that she has, short of burping, which she's yet to pull something doing that. No, that one... Uh-oh. Throw a hip out doing
ow.
That.
All right. 29 minutes is there.
I did the one cheek sneak and dislocated my knee.
29 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
What's that? It's this disgusting, horrible creature that's worse than anything you could ever imagine.
Ha! Ha! It is
Stephanie Miller.
Stephanie Miller. Brought to you by GoToMeeting this hour. GoToMeeting, the best way to host an online meeting. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on that there. Try it free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Okay, 1-800-STEPH-1 to the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Oh, it's an update from Wisconsin. Gene in Minneapolis on Governor Wanker. Hello, Gene. Gene. Hello, Gene.
Do we have her? Do we lose
her? Gene. Gene.
Okay. Gene, the dancing machine? Are you there?
The latest I heard from the Wisconsin is, I have it myself. I was just trying to give her all the glory.
That the Republicans are running fake Democrats?
Yes, on recall ballots.
Yeah.
How does that? They're just, you know, why can't they just
run on
the issues?
And that's legal, like, how? What kind of primary system do they have in Wisconsin that another party could just run people as Democrats?
Open primaries.
Dirty tricks.
Is it open primaries in Wisconsin, though? I don't think it is.
That's the thing. If you're so confident that you're winning on the issues and Paul Ryan's Medicare, plan is just wildly popular and, giving more tax cuts to the rich is wildly popular, then run on that. You know, stop trying to dirty trick your way back into... Okay, let's go to Kirk in Washington State. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kirk.
Hey, the E! Channel's all over the sexual situation, and they're going to roll out a show about a couple New York politicians whose careers have petered out. The working title is Spitzer Wiener, NYC.
That's funny. Spitzer Wiener, NYC.
Wiener Spitzer?
Wiener Spitzer? Wiener, Spitzer. What? Spitzer Wiener, I just...
Wow. Mm. Really?
Okay, really? Noel in Los Angeles, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Noel.
Hey, Steph. Hey, good morning, Luke and
Hal.
Hello.
Listen, I was watching Ed Schultz last night, and I was really, really disappointed.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Ed Schultz had his moment of morality last week when he had to take off for calling Laura Ingraham a political slut. But last night, he gets on the air and starts hammering away at Anthony Weiner, saying Weiner should resign. Well, if everybody who's immoral should resign from their position, then why did Ed Schultz return to TV on Monday night?
It's silly.
Well,
like this,
okay. Yeah. First of all, what Ed did is not even roughly the same thing. But, you know, again, we can all have an opinion.
It's hypocrisy. It's hypocrisy.
The point is he's setting a standard that he just kind of doesn't equate to himself at all in that regard. And
I think Ed is coming from a different place, Noel. Frankly, I think he thinks that, Nancy Pelosi has been put in an untenable position that he should resign. That's his opinion. But I don't think you can compare Ed Schultz calling somebody a name.
But Stephanie, you're right. It's his opinion. But my opinion is that he's wrong for slamming Weiner as hard as he was. And Bill Press was right to go toe-to-toe with Ed Schultz last night.
Yeah, I missed that, Noel, but thank you. I know that. I agree with Rachel on that one. How does David, or what's his name, Vitter, get to stay? That's what I'm saying. There's such a double standard.
Right.
What does she say, that thing about, it's because they're a Republican. I guess that it's okay. And they always stand by their own.
It's okay if you're a Republican is a Twitter hashtag, and it is true. Here's the thing: if you're running on the standard that you know what family values are, if you're Texas Governor Rick Perry and you're having a big prayer breakfast with all the Republican governors to pray for so that Jesus will solve the country's problems, then at some point when you bring out your budget and it eliminates, food and health care for children, I hold you at a different standard than if you go, I never ran on that.
Yeah, thank you. Their budget is the most immoral thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then, like I say, you look at, Hal, as you brought up, Foley or Larry Craig or John Ensign or David Vitter, they all knew what was going on with
Ensign,
these guys.
Ensign brokered the deal between... Coburn.
Coburn,
Brokered the deal between Ensign and his mistress and got, all but... walked that money, into a hollow stump at some place at the edge of the park so they could pick it up and walk away. These guys are the moral... And P.S., there's these guys behind the Ugandan Kill the Gays bill. These are the guys pushing for that.
Yeah.
And they're crying foul about...
Yeah. No, it's just...
Adult
shut
contact.
Up about gay people being immoral.
Seriously.
You know what I mean? With the amount of scandals they've had on their side as well.
They're all only pissed about Weiner because he's heterosexual.
All right.
That's their problem with this
whole
thing.
And by the way, Weiner...
one of the gay ones did it? Because...
Mm-hmm. By the way, our wiener still way better than their boner.
Yeah.
I've told the president that we will not increase the debt limit without serious changes to the way we spend the American people's money and real cuts.
You're going to cut the military budget in half? Because that's the only way you can get those cuts you want.
I thought this was curious. Did you see this headline, Boner Silent on Wiener Scandal? You know why? It's what I said Saturday in Raleigh-Durham. Hell, I think somewhere... a woman is opening a picture going, who sent me a picture of a Cheeto?
Right.
See, I think, I'm just saying, I think...
Orange penis email.
Who sent me a tiny Cheeto? It's a picture of a tiny Cheeto. And
why can't I... Nobody wants it. Nobody wants my Cheeto. That might.
Just saying, girls, be careful. I think your hands will get all, you know, like you've been eating Cheetos all day. Just a little
bit. I use it as a swizzle stick. Rob Royce.
I haven't seen Mike since I used to work at my dad's store after hours. I thought I was alone.
If they interview any of the women he's been with, you'll know because they'll have the Cheeto mouth. You know, they'll
or
be like,
fingertips. Yeah, just the fingertips.
Fingertips.
Just cheated up, orange
depends
fingers.
On what, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Okay, the boner.
The spending cuts contained in this agreement should exceed the amount that we increase the debt limit.
Oh, please. No.
Now, when I said exceed, I meant exceed. So you can underline exceed.
Mm. Oh, thanks. Mm. Yeah, yeah, we get the point.
Maybe we could have Sarah Palin. We could have Sarah Palin tell us the history of how many times that the spending cuts have been tied to the debt ceiling, which is never.
Mm-hmm. Here's a bumper sticker for the Republicans' economic policy going into 2012. Republican budgetary concern. One step forward, two steps back. Welcome to the Republican America, because that's what they're doing. Every step forward we want to make to better this country, they want two steps backwards in everything but defense spending, in which case they don't even want to pay for good defense stuff. They just want, instead of even more drones and unmanned aircraft, mm-hmm. which are effective
especially
tools,
things that are in their
they want
districts.
Yeah. Airplanes built in their district that will never fly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Boner, this is like his free bird, isn't it?
Think about this in terms of the economy and economic growth. The American people are still asking the question, where are the jobs?
Where are the jobs?
Where are the jobs?
Yeah, you guys have been in since November of last year. Yeah. I haven't seen a single jobs bill.
Where are the jobs?
Your budget by the Congressional Budget Office and every independent person out there said will kill jobs, including your... kind of eliminating the changes in the health care law, that kind of stuff.
They get to shut the hell up.
Senator Mitch McLiplis.
It's going to take a continued reduction in our annual discretionary budget and entitlement reform, which would kick in, obviously, in the out years.
Mm. Right. They want. Yeah. What we'll do is we want to hamstring Social Security and Medicare, but we'll leave it far out so it doesn't affect our voting chances in the next election. That's what he's talking about.
I love how they always say entitlements and just as if it's, you know, interchangeable with the handout.
Yeah.
Handout.
Yeah.
Like you haven't paid into it, it isn't your money, and you aren't actually entitled
right.
to it.
And it's not an investment of your money over time, that you don't put that in, that it gets people buy bonds, countries buy bonds based on that money, and you get interest on your money in a way that is guaranteed by the full credit of the United States government, which they're trying to undermine so that they don't have to pay that out, say, an excuse to kill Social Security later.
Yep.
This thing about the debt ceiling is for that purpose.
Yep. One last one. Senator Harry Reid.
They always come up with reasons not to do things, not so that we cannot check off an accomplishment in this administration.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly it. Rebecca in Virginia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Rebecca.
Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I was just calling because, well, first I wanted to say I'm so tired of pee politics, fill in the blank with the rest of the pee, Anthony Weiner.
Yes.
But I was calling about the jobs thing. As I sit here, I'm a teleworker, I work from home, and we talk about companies investing in America. They're investing the capital they have. They're just not investing it in America. They're investing in places like Costa Rica, Guam, Philippines, India. I can name the places that some companies that I work for have hired for in the last 6 months. And
American
I'm talking about
prisons.
Hundreds and thousands of jobs.
Yeah.
These are perfectly good jobs that could be filled anywhere in the U.S. by someone with at least a high school diploma.
Yeah.
But instead, we're investing in all these other countries. Just not here.
Yep, absolutely. Michael, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, and our porous trade policy allows for them to do that without any limitation whatsoever.
Yeah, Michael in Denver, City by the Bay. Hello, Michael.
Hi there. Hi. I wanted to give you guys a call. I'll kind of paint a little bit different picture for everybody. I'm actually a young entrepreneur who also works a full-time job for a good-sized company, but I also own two companies and am in the process of helping doing capital raises for five additional companies, which on top of that...
Whatever, overachiever.
I am definitely an overachiever. But what I was going to tell you is that there's a very scary theme in what I've encountered, and that there's a lot of opportunity with startup companies, and there is a common theme in talking with every one of these large corporations, capital investment firms, angel investors, is that they're all afraid to get involved with a startup company. It's the number one door closer. When they hear startup, they almost shut off instantaneously.
Mm-hmm.
And I've actually started to gain more traction by going after Chinese investment groups, which is sad because these are U.S. opportunities,
right?
And startups, and they're just letting them, you know, these companies are letting them go by the wayside. Hmm. They don't even require huge startup capital to get them going.
Yeah.
Well, look at the bullet train from Anaheim to Las Vegas, which was mocked in the president's original budget that he put through.
Right.
The Republicans went after it like crazy. It is now going to happen entirely from Chinese investment, and Chinese companies are building it here in the United States because they know it will turn a profit in short order. And it's exactly why the Republicans were against it, because they didn't want the profit being credited to Obama's policies while he was in office.
Yep. All right, some good thoughts, Mike. And by the way, here's what I would invest in Denver if I were you. Anything to do with boating, because you're right there by the bay.
We love you, Denver! City by the bay!
And not actually. No.
Sure they are. Yeah. All right. Just saying, I'm giving financial tips.
I would go oxygen tanks.
Mm-hmm. All right, 45 minutes after the hour. Right back with Right Wing World and more as we continue Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Wow, how did the show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, it is the Stephanie Miller Show. Representative Bruce Braley and comedian Paula Poundstone coming up next hour. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Pat in Maine wants us to know that she's old. Hello, Pat.
What?
That's right. Old and mean.
There's no other way to be.
No,
life is a bitch, and it starts in the third grade.
Oh, well, right then.
Okay.
Look at that.
Okay.
All right. It's okay. You made it. You got there in time, Chris.
Oops. Sorry. Did we dump that?
Yeah.
All right.
Yikes.
That was she
was proving her point.
Yes.
At that point, you just
she
really
had
don't...
a good point about health care. She just got a little potty mouth.
Yeah.
All right.
I mean, what the peep?
Yeah. That's pretty
awesome.
If you're going to call in and you need to swear, I would say go Yosemite Sam or Popeye on that.
Sure.
You know, just go.
Okay. Lisa in Phoenix.
Wow. Yeah.
Hi, Lisa.
Hello? Hi, I'm sorry. That's I had you on speaker.
Okay.
So I could listen, but I was calling because when you're talking about the jobs, you're not talking about all the Republican Congresses and Senates that are in the states that are cutting their budgets, the state budgets.
Right.
And so they're laying off teachers, they're laying off state workers, and they're not replacing those jobs. In Arizona right now, we are laying off so many teachers that students are going to be in classes that are as large as 35 students, 45 students.
Mm.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
Yep.
And they're closing schools so that they can move the teachers over. It's a bad time.
Well, I mean, Lisa, yeah, I mean, absolutely. But look at New Jersey. I mean, this is why, you know, this helicopter story was even bigger with Chris Christie, because he just cut $800 million in education funding. And then he takes a state helicopter to his kid's baseball game. I mean, they're such hypocrites.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that's true, but in Arizona, our governor, Jan Brewer, claims to be an education governor, and in the last 3 years, we've cut over $1 billion from education.
Yeah, it's exactly the wrong place to cut. I mean, their priorities are just, it could not be worse. I mean, honestly, it literally, you almost can't believe with where tax rates they are now. The Paul Ryan's plan includes more tax cuts for rich people.
Right.
Oh, all right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, it's Mary Madeline. Republican tax, whatever.
You have massive overhaul of the tax code, tax reform, lower rates, cut out all the loopholes. We'll be for cutting out corporate welfare. We want to cut out all energy subsidies. We want a flatter, fairer, cleaner a tax code, and that will raise revenue. That's the way to do it, not to just keep raising taxes so Democratic Congresses can keep spending more.
Yeah, guess what? You need to do both to close this deficit. You need to close loopholes, and you need to have the rich pay their fair share.
Right.
At least what they did under Clinton, for God's sakes, you know, let alone Reagan.
It's this false attempt to seem reasonable, when the rubber hits the road, they always drop that part of it.
And it's always the middle class in some
way. Yeah, and they never jack up. There's no way they're going to drop the... Like, we could have literally paid for, you know, when Cantor was holding hostage the cleanup after the tornadoes and saying, we got to make cuts before we can pay out that money, fine, then end the oil subsidies. It would have paid for it five times over.
Yeah.
Yep.
And even though it makes no sense, the tax rates were literally higher under Ronald Reagan. You remember when it was morning in America back then.
Right.
Now it's dusk, according to Charles Krauthammer.
No matter what Obama said, no matter how he spun it, if he used the phrase the bump in the road or a blip or whatever, it wouldn't make any difference in the world. It's the fact that we have historically high unemployment, and it is staying there. It's dusk in America. It's evening in America. It's midnight in America. But it's not
midnight.
Morning in America.
Dark,
that's why no matter what he says, it's not going to make any difference.
See, it's dark. That's his point.
Right. See, darkness has settled down, Chappelle style. Darkness has settled upon America.
Wow.
Darkness.
It's down a mine shaft.
Yes. You know, and this is the meme they have to present, because their guy's going to be the light at the end of the tunnel, even though it's going to be a Mack truck full of explosives that they allow into the country they don't want to check. They want to shut down. Yeah.
All right. Fox News host and Lars Larson.
No doubt the president wants to turn it around and needs to turn it around.
No, he doesn't.
And so...
oh, yes, he does. I think everyone can agree that the president wants to turn around
the economy. It's a question of how you go about doing it.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. Tenured socialist commie.
He's here. He's anti-colonial. Okay. That's why he doesn't want to turn it around.
Exactly.
Yeah. He doesn't believe in the British ability to colonize. What? What?
Unlike that Paul Revere guy.
I'm sorry. Even if you're listening and you're independent right wing, do you really think that?
Yeah.
Do you really think?
No, they don't really think that.
What's bad?
They don't believe
for
a word of what they're saying. And they're intentionally doing this because they think it will help their chances to get their guy in next time. Who, by the way, they have no faith in. They have. Everybody in the Republican field, they hate, but they've got to sell somebody. Right now,
they should just run, just call it anyone but Obama. Just
right.
Some candidate.
They're running off of Obama,
like
not on their
guy. They should run somebody with a paper bag literally over his head or her head.
The unknown Republican.
The unknown Republican.
About, right.
That's, it's just other.
Murray Langstrom
other.
Can run.
We are running other. All right. Just not the black guy. That's what they're going to run.
Yeah. Unless it's Herman Cain.
Unless it's Herman Cain, which they also won't vote for.
Stuart Varney.
Flat out, you've got to stop this regulation. If you're a business guy, you run a big corporation, you've got a ton of money in the bank, you've made good profits, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to invest in America?
No.
If you do, you face increasing regulation in finance, in healthcare, and in energy. Key areas. They haven't even written the rules yet, but they're going to. And they're going to be onerous on you. Where's your best line of attack? Where are you going to make the most money? Is it in America or is it in Asia?
I'll tell you where the communist Chinese government has complete control over the economic future of your company. Are you going to invest in China? No. Are you going to do it in Europe, where they actually do have regulations? The European Union has stronger environmental regulations, fuel economy standards than we do. No, you're not going to invest it there.
You can do it
in Southern Africa if you want to, but you're not going to make any profit there that you can spend anywhere else. But all right, that's fine.
Let's have some more.
Other than that, I have no opinion.
Some more fear-mongering with Glenn Beck. Here.
Let's go to the left blogs, shall we? Because we not only have Barbara Walters saying something insipid, we have Joy Behar, we have almost every network, we have all of the left-wing blogs, we have Media Matters that has just been exposed again as nothing but
by
an
who?
Organ. They are not an enemy of ours. They're not an enemy of yours. They are an enemy of man's freedom.
Oh, my God. We have to ask Eric Bollard about that on Monday. Is that his plan?
Did, I, Joy Behar?
Yeah, the left.
Their enemy is man's freedom. That's what their point is.
Joy Behar is attacking.
She's an enemy of man's freedom. I'm going to bring that up to her next time
I had no idea.
Well, hello, enemy
That's
of man's
not nice
freedom.
At all.
What's your question? Wow. Okay, Representative Bruce Braley and comedian Paula Poundstone coming up next as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. SexyLiberal.com is the website. Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Check it out. Lots of upcoming dates. StephanieMiller.com, the regular website. Okay. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Joined by one of our personal favorites now, Representative Bruce Braley of the great state of Iowa. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning, Stephanie. I'm glad you're still walking on sunshine.
Yeah, indeed I am. Even, well, you know, we were pointing out, even with this latest disappointing jobs report, I think, you know, again, people have to look at those graphs and understand the enormity of the fact that we were losing 700,000 jobs a month under George Bush. And that happened steadily month after month after month. We've been going in the right direction since then. We still added jobs last month. It just, you know, wasn't what we hoped for, correct?
George W. Bush, now, he was our last president, right?
Yes, correct.
Yes, that George W. Bush.
Right.
Yeah, no, the numbers were disappointing, and there's still a lot of important work to do. The most disappointing thing is the voters in November were loud and clear. They wanted us to create jobs and fix the economy, but the Republicans have taken their eye off the ball. And I haven't seen one jobs bill on the House floor this session, not one. Instead, we voted on repealing the health care law that's going to help millions of Americans. We voted on closing down Planned Parenthood and NPR. We've attacked women's health and voted on ending Medicare for millions of Americans like me. And then we have a budget bill that Mark Zandi, John McCain's economist, said would kill 700,000 jobs. So I'm having a hard time seeing where they are on their job creation platform.
Well, I mean, you know, even the president said yesterday the recovery has got to accelerate. But I still think we are in a recovery, don't you?
Yes, there's no doubt about it. And the fact that we just had the anniversary of the Bush tax bonuses is a good indication of why we're in the problem we are. I recently did a series of town halls on the deficit in my district. They were interactive. We brought in the nonpartisan Concord Coalition to help facilitate. And you know what came through loud and clear is that Iowans are ready for shared sacrifice, but it has to be truly shared and it has to be equitable. And that's why when we aren't even talking about revenue enhancements to address the deficit, most economists would tell you then we're not going to get to where we need to go.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, and I you know, I don't know what your take is, but I think Paul Krugman was right that the stimulus should have been bigger and that, you know, this is exactly the wrong thing to do, is to focus on the deficit, you know, when we're in this situation job-wise. And I think if you even do polling, people don't care as much about the deficit as they care about jobs. Isn't that correct?
No, but at the same time,
I mean, we can do both.
The deficit is a reality, and I think we have a responsibility to provide leadership on both, and I think we can. The problem is when you only want to look at spending cuts as a way of addressing the deficit, you're never going to get to where you need to go. And my constituents across the spectrum realized that through this exercise where they sat down and voted on specific spending programs and revenue enhancements with their friends and neighbors. And at the end of these town halls, we showed them real-time data of how we would achieve the greatest deficit reduction. And without exception, it was always on addressing the revenue piece. And we have to start with rolling back the Bush tax bonuses for the wealthiest Americans.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, I just couldn't say, I mean, the Paul Ryan plan to me could not be more wrong. It has it exactly opposite. And I think most Americans think that. That's the last thing you do is cut Medicare so rich people can get more tax cuts.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that was presented as a choice they could make. There was a deficit, there was a deficit reduction value assigned to adopting the Ryan plan for Medicare. But people were also informed, guess what? If you do this, each of you under the age of 55 is probably going to spend about $7,000 a year more on your health care coverage under Medicare. You
yeah.
choose which is important to you, and I can tell you the how they chose.
Yeah.
It was overwhelmingly to keep Medicare, to strengthen and improve it, and to look for other targets to reduce the deficit.
Right. And Congressman Braley, here we go again with the hostage crisis over the debt ceiling. You know, here they are
yes.
tying, you know, these cuts to you know, the full faith and credit of the United States. How is this one going to play out?
Well, predictably, there are a lot of games being played right now, and they're being played early because the real crisis is going to come at the beginning of August. But we know, based upon the vote that was taken last week, that there are serious implications, and that's why the responsible thing for people to do is sit down, come together, and talk about how we're going to provide real, meaningful deficit reduction, looking at both spending and revenues, and at the same time, focus on how we're going to stimulate the economy and create jobs, because everybody knows, Stephanie, putting people back to work, having them pay into Social Security, Medicare, and into the federal and state treasuries is the best way we have of reducing the deficit. And yet, here we are with no meaningful jobs plan from the Republicans.
Yep, absolutely. Congressman, we always appreciate your time. Keep fighting the good fight for us in the
Thanks,
trenches.
Stephanie.
All right.
Great to be on the show.
All right, thanks. We'll talk to you soon. I got to go to Bruce in Madison on what's happening there. Bruce, you know, just talking to Congressman Braley, this kills me in state after state. If in Wisconsin, for instance, they were so confident that they were right on the issues, you know, why are they trying to run spoiler candidates for these Democratic recalls? Or, excuse me, Republican recalls?
Why? Because they're really slimy.
Yeah. You've heard this story, right? They're, you know, trying to throw spoiler candidates in. I mean, you know, if you really think people are with you on workers' rights, on all of the stuff, on unions that you know, they're trying to do there, why not run on the issues fairly, right?
Well, I'm kind of close because I'm in Madison, but you would think that it would just anger people and even bring out more people to vote against these fake candidates, so mm-hmm. to speak. But yes, we do have open primaries, which is, I think, a wonderful thing. And unfortunately, you know, you can get slimy things like this happening.
Yeah. But it kills me. Just, it's always like a dirty trick rather than just going, you know, this is, we're right on the issues. They know they're not right on the issues. That's
right.
What all these, you know, you don't need even 100,000 protesters in Madison. You need, you know, you can look at poll after poll and know they're losing on the issues, you know.
Right. Well, that's why they'll use a lot of, I think it was North Carolina, they were caught on an open mic. The Republicans down there were caught on an open mic talking about their plans for the next go-around and about how they were literally picking their point person to talk about the issue on his ability to obfuscate, his ability to just yep. confuse people. And even said, you know, like, Jim can obfuscate better than anybody I've ever heard. Let him do all the talking.
Wow.
And just so we can soften this entire conversation. And they're going to, I mean, here's the thing. If you believe, like Steph said, if you believe everybody's behind you and what you're doing is right, then have the convictions of your,
yeah.
you know, to stand mm-hmm. next to your principles and go, this is what I believe, take it or leave it. They never do. They always go, let's not talk about what my budget was. Gay people want to teach your kids how to be gay.
Yeah, exactly. Huh? What?
Right. What? They are? Is it a learning annex class? Or
by the way, I just got my favorite, one of my, it's not even really a hate letter, just... from Phil. If I wanted to listen to the Comedy Channel, I'd tune into that. You need to be transferred.
What?
Transferred?
Can you do that in radio? Where would
you
I be transferred to?
Yeah.
Poughkeepsie? Where? Is there another office somewhere I could be transferred
Cheyenne,
to?
Cheyenne, Wyoming?
This is like...
Huh? Anaheim, Ascension,
Cucamonga.
All right.
Steph won't be on the air today. She's been transferred.
I've been transferred.
to a listening post in the illusion.
For being too entertaining.
All right, where's my sexy music? Kids, Judy writes, yay, Detroit! Hi, Steph, still shaking from the news about the Detroit show. Shaking!
Mm-hmm.
I guess constant whining does pay off. Oh, trust me, it does. I make my whole living at it. While you were still on the air yesterday, I called the Detroit Opera House, slapping at numbers, trying to get VIP tickets, and got into a little tiff about your show here. The lady said that because they were... It took a little while to build, I guess. There's a little bit of screaming and crying and things, and it got on sale a little later than it was supposed to. I'm going to suck it up and pay the extra fees and give away my firstborn. Good. That's what I encourage, that sort of thing. Good. Thank you. By the way, my six-year-old son, Joe, wants to know what your real name is. I told him it's...
Stephanie Miller.
He said he thought that's just the name he used on the radio.
Computer says no.
No, that's my actual name, Joe. He misses you on the radio now that he's at school full-time, but he catches up on my podcast. I question your parenting skills, but your taste in radio is really exquisite. Awesome. Dead on. Also in live entertainment, by the way, which...
Start your engines, Detroit, because the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is cruising your way.
Take him to Detroit.
These progressive pistons are firing on all cylinders, and they're born, bred, and made in the USA. Can't forget the Motor City. On August 20th at the Detroit Opera House, John Fugel sang Aisha Tyler. And Motor City's favorite cougar, Stephanie Miller, will spark up your night and heal you with their full torque progressive power. Tickets are available at motopera.org and ticketmaster.com. To call for tickets, dial 313-237-SING. That's 313-237-SING. Score your VIP tickets early for the best seats to witness Mama model her tight, sexy tee.
I want to get back to Michigan, and I want to try.
That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. Detroit, you just can't afford to miss this.
All right, get it, Detroit. Hal Sparks will be in Edinburgh just for August. So we have two shows with Aisha, and then we have some more Hal Sparks announcements. We have Sexy Liberal announcements, up to three this week.
Yeah.
Including one where I snapped under the pressure and caved on something.
Yes.
That I swore I wasn't going to, which proves once and for all I have no core principles of any kind, clearly.
Yes. Absolutely. But to your credit,
not.
You never claimed to in the past, and therefore none of us feel let down by
no.
it.
No hypocrisy there.
No,
really.
None whatsoever. By the way, and good on you for going to Detroit, none too short. You know, the Koch brothers-backed conservative activist group Americans for Prosperity, which is a very ironically named group considering
yes.
most of its company guys who put their money overseas, put fake eviction notices on houses in Detroit, in the Delray area of Detroit, to scare people into voting against their own interests.
Oh, right. And yeah. as you know, we pick a different progressive charity in every city to give some of the proceeds to. So anyway, go to sexyliberal.com, Sexy Liberal on Facebook. Lots of big shows coming up, and tickets, they are selling out.
No.
We're not hyperbolizing.
Nope.
No. All right.
Unlike the Christmas sweater.
Yes.
Which was going to be in movie theaters because the theater itself was going to be so packed.
And you were right. We shouldn't have called this Stephanie Miller's Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa thong. That was a little clunky.
Yeah.
This is doing much better.
Although right. I think I still cry every time I hear that story. The Christmas Hanukkah Kwanzaa thong.
Right. 19 minutes after the hour, unless I'm transferred, I'll be right back with more Hump Days with Hal Sparks on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This whole place just feels like a warm blanket.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 24 minutes after the hour. May have some news related to that, sexy liver-wise. 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Hump Days with Hal Sparks continues. Let's go to Hansler. Tyson in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tyson.
Oh, hey, Steph. I just got two quick comments. First of all, I'm sorry Hal's not going to be in Santa Fe.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I know. He done left me for Edinburgh in August.
Yeah, it's kind of like talk soup all over again with Aisha taking over for him.
That's true. That's true.
Just anyone that ever hosted talk soup with naked pictures on the internet only need apply.
Right.
That was our only requirement.
And they have to be hot and female and black.
Stop it.
Yeah, the only people, the only one who could personally who would really respond.
Go ahead, Tyson.
And the other thing is in Harvard Natural History Museum, for when you're in Boston, they have a whale penis there.
Oh, awesome. When I come,
so
when we come to the
go.
Sexy Liberal Show July 16th, I might be able to be killed by a whale penis.
You can't go
there.
Anywhere near it.
Yes.
We've got to do these shows. It's too important to our democracy.
I might be tired enough by the Boston show that I will deliberately go to the whale penis museum.
You'll commit seppuku with harakiri with a giant whale penis.
Sandy in L.A. on the Wiener scandal. Hello. Hi, Sandy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Did you by any chance happen to see
Piers Morgan interviewing Ann Coulter yesterday.
Oh, dear God. Sorry to say I missed that.
She said that the Kent State quote, you mean?
No, he asked her, is it true you're 50 years of age and been divorced 3 times? And she said, I never talk about my private life. I never talk about my private life. A woman who is so far past her sell-by date, she's like a cast-off from Hugh Hefner's bedroom. He really busted her really good, though.
Wow.
He got her really good. He got her agitated. He got her aggravated.
Wow. I didn't know that. Is that true that she's been divorced 3 times?
No, she's been, I'm sorry, did I say divorced? I mean, she's been engaged 3 times.
Oh.
Well, that's what he busted.
Imagine any man not wanting to go through with that. That's curious.
I don't talk about my age. I'm a writer. And he said, well, you're a demonic writer. There's no question about
that. Wow.
Why does anybody, and that's anybody, right or left, care about what Anthony Weiner does?
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's, you know what it is? It's again, always the lying. It's not the actual thing, I guess.
By the way, and what I was referencing was the fact that I think she might have been on Bill O'Reilly when she said this, though, that she said that they were talking about the Kent State Massacre, and she said that's how you handle a mob.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's their idea of democracy. Uh-huh. That's their idea of one man, one vote, you know, individual rights.
What do you think happened with those engagements? Maybe they were punctured by, like, a, you know, shoulder blade or something.
I think the more than likely, whoever the guy is, escaped the church, ran out, and hopped into a Trans Am with Burt Reynolds and went racing across the country for beer.
We're fairly certain that's how it went.
Yeah.
By the way, this is interesting. Poll, nearly half of New York City voters want Weiner to resign. 46% calling for him to quit. 41% he says he should not. Interesting. Weiner did worse among men than among women. 50% of the male respondents saying he should resign. 42% of the women. Randy Rose is like, it's a guy. Women were just tired. We're like,
I bet you more of the men are Republican, too. They're not doing a breakdown by party.
Right. By the way, Camelia has sent a couple of e-cards to me. This one, hope you enjoyed that unsubstantiated crotch shot I possibly didn't send. That's a card you might want to get ready. And also, I wish Sarah Palin was an Apple product so she'd be completely obsolete in 6 months. All right. Thank you. Uh-huh. Damien and Paris, I just
love
this.
She is, but they're still selling her. She's like the Zune.
I just love this from Damien. He writes, we can all agree that if stupid were snowflakes, Sarah Palin would be an avalanche.
It is pretty stunning. My favorite part was where she went on and did her own I wasn't wrong correction. And it was even further down the dip crap path.
Yes.
It was almost like, how could you get more wrong? And she just kind of swung.
She doubled down.
She swings for the fences. I got to give
her credit. Here's what I love is the girl fight. The girl fight is heating up between Bachman and Palin.
Oh, yeah.
Category of Republican.
Bachman Palin overdrive.
Yeah. Did you see her? They said, what's the difference? She's like, well, you know, I have my executive experience and all, and she has whatever. Oh, my God. And so then Ed Rollins is Michelle Bachman's new consultant, and he said, Sarah has not been serious over the last couple of years. She got the vice presidential thing handed to her. She didn't go to work in the sense of trying to gain more substance. She gave up her governorship. fight. Girl fight.
Here, a history seminar conducted by those two.
Oh, my God. It would be beautiful.
A history of Palin.
You know that girl wanted to debate Bachman? I want to see Palin and Bachman debate each other.
Debate. I will meet you at the Liberty Bell in Montana.
The two of them and Herman Cain in a three-way debate for the primaries.
Awesome.
I'm sorry. I just...
29. Your nipples are hard.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Right back with Paula Poundstone next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I'm definitely sleeping in your bed tonight.
Oh, boy. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. I might have to force Fred into a snuggle tonight like I normally do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even my dogs are like, oh, God, she's so needy. Fred, get up here! He has a romantic man. Mama needs you. Okay, a little peek into my world.
You need therapy?
Hmm? Wow. Oh, it's coming up in about an hour. Good for me. Oh, in fact, someone wrote me Victoria Snap. On a serious note, it gets better, and by it I mean therapy. It sounds like you're going through a bumpy patch in the therapy process. If this is just shtick, never mind. No, Victoria, nothing is shtick on this show. I'm seriously having nerves.
Your whole life is a bumpy patch.
I hit black ice a few years ago, and I'm just still in a skid, Victoria. But thank you for your concern.
Turn into the skid. Turn into it.
Yeah, exactly. She is.
Anyway, doctor. It's the worst thing I hear all week. All right, Stephanie, we're out of time. We're out of time for this week.
That's enough crazy.
Can you tell that they're speaking that through the yawn?
And I get 3 hours a day to talk to myself in a padded room, and it's still not enough.
Right, I know.
Woo, it's the special kind of crazy. All right.
So reassuring.
I'm on my, not my 19th, Jim. What am I on? My 47th nervous breakdown.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know what? We're about to have a comedy implosion. I'm not sure what happens when you mix this much comic brilliance genius all at one moment, but we'll find out. Paula Poundstone, comedian extraordinaire, joins us now.
Hurrah.
Good morning. Hey, good morning.
Good morning, Paula Poundstone.
You know what? I got to tell you, I used to dread those words. We're out of time.
Yeah.
And the thing is, my schedule is always so awful that we had to be out of time, like, after 15 minutes, because you spent the next 45 going, well, can you do 11:30? No, you can't do 11:30 now, because I'm picking my kid up. Okay, can you do 12? It's so 45 minutes of scheduling and 15 minutes of
therapy.
God knows what.
Yeah, and then insurance information, and then it's like, all right, we're done now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And then can you sign this? Can you sign that? Did you sign this? Yeah, okay. All right, well, I want to thank you. What's your name again? Okay, this has really been, I think, you know, something.
That's exactly why I've never been in therapy, that and they won't accept me. But other than that...
Yes.
They won't accept you because you are clean as a whistle.
That's true. Yeah. I have no excuses. That's the thing.
The perfection intimidates the therapist. No,
well, that...
I honestly, I wish I had every penny and every minute back.
Yeah.
Because
Paula,
you, Stephanie. Don't
well, no, Paula. The point is that's what stand-up is for. For God's sakes, none of us would have careers if we didn't have multiple issues we're working out on stage and on behind microphones.
Well, that's what they say. But
yes.
Honestly, I think I had more issues when I worked at the IHOP.
Yeah.
Not the least of which is I was just sticky
all the time, like pancake syrup.
I was just sticky everywhere I would go after work. I sort of adhered to people.
Yeah.
And and I would say, Jim, I'm sorry, I'm not that needy. It's just that I work at the IHOP and I'm sticky.
Yeah, it's like you're like
a pancakes.
You were like a human flytrap.
Exactly.
I understand. Yeah. Now you're doing. Speaking of compounded comedic brilliance, you are doing a show with Hal Sparks called Stand Up for Main Street. Look at this cast: Jeff Garland, Dom Herrera, Andy Kindler, Paula Poundstone, Hal Sparks,
Bill Burr.
Yeah, tell us what this is about.
What are the odds of Hal Sparks being on a show with Hal Sparks?
Look at this.
It's a comedy show with Hal Sparks, Stand Up for America, and then he puts his name on the list.
It's June 12th out here at the Brentwood Theater in L.A.
Sunday.
It's to support, this Sunday, to support Public Citizen. Tell us about that and what it's for.
Well, Public Citizen is a advocacy group that, what's the name of the guy?
Ralph Nader started.
Thank you, Ralph Nader.
But he will not be a part of that. If you look at, the people who are, he hasn't really been involved in the organization for 30 years, but he famously started, and created little things like, I don't know, mandatory seat belts and that kind of things in cars, testing airbags so that they wouldn't kill you and would help you.
Well, the mandatory seat belts are really starting to get on my nerves, I gotta tell you, but I haven't mentioned it to
Click
Ralph.
It or ticket.
Yeah, but see, Paula, we all grew up in the time when you would, by the time, you traded your car back in, the seat belt had never been used. It was just,
one at all. I gotta tell you something, my father was an engineer, and a smart, smart man, and we used to travel to Alabama from Massachusetts right away. How much intelligence does that show?
Sure.
But we were one of the few northern vacationers in Alabama. But we would drive. He would rig. We had four kids in the family. He would rig the back area of the station wagon so that you could. He would put a board that rested on top of the back seat.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that you could put the luggage under there, and there was a sleeping spot on top of the board. Now, I don't know how well I'm explaining so you can visualize it, but basically, so the girls would sleep on top of that board, And if he had hit the brakes.
If he braked anything other than completely soft, you would fly in onto the dashboard.
They weren't going out their windshield. They weren't going to go into the back of the front seat.
I think I can top you that one. My dad actually turned a corner while I was fiddling with the door jamb, as kids are wont to do back when they didn't have ways of fixing that. And I just fell out of the car on a corner.
Yeah.
And my dad drove an extra block and a half without me.
Wow.
And went, something's missing. Oh, the child.
You weren't as chatty as a kid.
I couldn't drive. I would know my kids weren't in the car because of the peace that I would feel after making a left.
Right.
You would have a few moments of peace.
I would say, wait a minute, I just drove through heaven's gates. You made a left and you went to heaven. I had no idea.
Well, Hal, you couldn't have been as chatty as a child because you would notice now. I've been in the car with you.
No, I would have been sitting. I beg your pardon. I would have been sitting in the puddle going, I don't think this is what you had planned, Father.
I don't.
This is just too annoying in the car. Like, unbelievably annoying. My 16. Well, okay, she's not 16 anymore. She's 17. But nonetheless, when my daughter turned 16, we do this awful thing in this country, which is anytime there's a kid 16, people feel the need to go up to them and go, gonna be driving soon, huh? Okay, not every 16-year-old is going to drive, and my 16-year-old was not at that point in that process, and therefore it was a stupid thing to say to her. But I think what she thought was that she must inherently, from deep within, know about driving because she was 16. She had never taken a lesson, never looked at a manual, never anything, but now I have this annoying daughter sitting beside me telling me how to drive all the time.
Right.
She knows nothing about it.
Listen.
By the way, I'm a bad driver, and I admit that openly.
Right.
But at least I've taken some sort of training. I have a license. So I found a 2009, it was, California Driver's Manual on my desk one day, and I offer it to her. I go, why don't you at least take a look at this, and then you can start taking lessons. And she said, no, it's too old. I said, you know what, honey, the rules are pretty much the same. You don't have to worry about it.
For the record, is the annoying part of it that she's right about what she's saying most of the time when you're driving?
No, maybe sometimes.
Yeah, I think that might be it.
So one day we're driving, and as I said, I'm not a good driver. I admit that openly. One day we're driving. I'm going the wrong way on the freeway. Okay, this could happen to anybody. So I do what I think is the right thing, which is I dip down into the median strip and come up the other side. And she's screaming in the seat beside me. And I said to her, oh, my gosh, that's right. It's 2011.
Right.
Yeah, Paul, here's my
thought. In 2009, we're allowed to do that.
So, you know, I've never been done the road, and so now Hal and I are doing this, you know, the sexy liberal tour, so I'm flying a lot, and I don't have kids, but let me just say I flew, what did I fly? Chatty Toddler Airlines, which is Screaming Baby's sister airlines, and I feel we need more tiger moms. I don't... Am I being intolerant? The kids behind me, literally the one kid was screaming and crying and talking the whole flight, and the other one was playing, I swear to God, ukulele. She was playing a guitar of some sort.
Wow.
Yeah. And I turned around and gave, the most I could muster was one look at the mother, just like, really? Are you kidding me? And
Don't look at me. I'm the baby whisperer.
She's playing a guitar or a ukulele?
Yes.
Yes.
Wow.
And the other kid was telling a story that went on for 3 hours or a joke or something. I just was like...
Well, that might have been me.
Right.
Was I pushing on your seat? Was that you?
Yes, she was kicking...
I didn't know that was you. You know what? I never look over... I'll tell you something. Before I had kids, I used to say, and I was dead serious, that if there was a babies and no babies flight, you know, the way they used to do smoking and no smoking, I used to say I would wait an extra day to fly home to get on no babies.
Right.
What's really funny is that now... If there's a baby in the gate area, I always think to myself, oh, I hope they're beside me. Mm-hmm.
Really?
I just love babies.
Is that what happens? Just,
that's why you hate teenagers.
Maybe, because they ruined my baby.
Right.
Exactly.
That's
and every year when my kid had a birthday, I begged them not to do it.
See, and I always think, I've literally, when I'm on the plane, because I am inevitably the one behind the loudest screamy toddler or baby or whatever, and so then I'm in a Paula Poundstone routine. I mean, people on the left side of the plane, people on the right side of the plane. I'm like, why can't I be someone on the other side of the plane? I'm on the wrong side of the plane.
No, I've definitely been. I love babies. And at the same time, I've been, you know, annoyed by by families before. It's just, I guess one thing that happens is, and maybe you have to be in my family to experience it, but after a while, I mean, I've just been forged by fire.
Is there something...
Listen to and put up with...
Does your hearing go, what is it? Because I don't understand my parents, I have some compassion,
mama,
I understand.
You can't control it entirely.
I don't hear a word.
But are we, do we not have enough tiger moms, or is it, I don't get it. Because there's a certain level of behavior that you're just like, oh, come on.
Yeah, no, I do not disagree. I will say my kids have always, for the most part, been good flyers. Mm-hmm. The car is a different experience altogether. But for the most part, the flying thing, they always.
I'm totally fine with screaming babies on a plane because they have an excuse for being annoying because they don't understand that they're not going to blow up. They don't get that their head feels like it's going to explode. They can't communicate what their problem is. You know who annoys me? Old people who insist on sitting in the aisle. Sorry, you're quiet during the whole flight, but now I have to wait for an extra 15 minutes for you to weasel your bag out with your brittle bones, and you never thought, I'll sit by a window because if crap goes down, I'm not going to make other people It is, absolutely. But
heavens, where is it that you're in such a hurry to get? Because the other thing is...
Plane bursts into flames. How fast are you now moving?
But have you been?
No, but that's always an option, is it not? Southwest had a big hole in the roof recently.
No.
I flew 170,000 miles last year. The odds are fairly high.
No, unless you're combustible, I don't.
Well, maybe old people are. Have you ever noticed that when old people die, they always have the little fire truck?
It's the old people that are keeping the plane from bursting into flames.
Exactly, Hal.
Like you, that get all fired up.
Yeah.
I don't even know when the plane lands. And I, by the way, I do usually have the window seat if it makes you feel any better. And yes, my bones are brittle. But
you don't qualify.
I don't get up. I wait until. I mean, if
that's what I mean. You're not a problem. I'm not talking about you. Clearly.
Until.
Wow, we all have our pet peeves.
The plane because the baggage is not going to come up in a timely fashion in which you...
Baggage?
See, you know, Paula, you know what it is? We all
think it is.
Yeah, we all have our issues because, see, I don't have kids, so I don't care how much they misbehave in your car because I'm not objected to it. It's probably like Animal House in your car, and I don't care. It's just not a plane. I'm subjected to them, so now I want perfect
silence.
I feel
the same way about old people.
Oh, for God's
sakes. There is another option, which is that you can put them in the overhead compartment.
Old people? I will try that on the next flight on the Sexy Liberal Tour.
The old people try for them to get up there. A kid, you can kind of convince them. Oh, honey.
Oh, I always wanted to sleep up there when I was a kid.
Tell them there's an electrical outlet up there. They'll be up there in a flash.
Let's play hide and seek. Okay.
Yeah,
all
so
right. Paula Poundstone is doing with Hal Sparks and a bunch of other brilliant comedians. Stand up for Main Street. There is a link on stephaniemiller.com how to get tickets. Paula,
I love links.
I love you and your children. I was kidding about the whole thing.
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure. It was us. You were sitting in front of us. I feel awful now.
Oh, yeah. don't be silly.
Was it a flight to Alabama? That was us.
That was you. All right, honey.
One of my old vacation stopping grounds.
Talk to you again soon. There she goes, Paula Poundstone.
Brentwood Theater.
That is not sexy and liberal, that ageism thing of yours. I didn't even know that about
you. I'm going to be old one day. I will live up to the standard I set for myself. I will not be a baby again anytime soon. And I think babies deserve...
Yeah. I can't wait till someone goes, scat, grandpa, tight pants. I got to get up. Gotta get off the plane.
Then I will take that under advisement, but I'll also be the spryest, tight-panted old man you've ever seen.
47 minutes
wagging
after
it
the
about.
Hour.
And most fertile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
47 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining hump days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. I'm gonna tell everyone to
lighten up. Bow! It is the Stephanie Miller Show.
The dumbest dancing
52
I can do.
52 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12. Mel writes, my driving instructor in school terrified me about driving. I didn't get my license until I was 25. I love Paula Poundstone. Was I the only one that thought the teacher's name was Driver Ed? I didn't know what it was. All right.
I learned how to drive in Kentucky when I was, I think, 12. It was my mom got sick, and there was no food in the house, so I had to drive to the store. And we had a Jeep, and I had to learn to drive a stick.
Some
no, I had to just drive. I had to learn to drive a stick to go to the general store, to the Peaks Mill General Store, and bring back, you know, whatever they had, crap they had there, a jar of peanut butter and an old pickle or something.
How many times did you stall?
Eric in Seattle on Trips from Hell. Hello, Eric.
Hello.
Hi.
I have an atrocious child story about a trip. It was a nonstop trip from Seattle to Miami. It might as well have been to Singapore because across the aisle from me, I had a mother who had no control over her child, and she was horking down handfuls of Xanax and drinking directly from the airplane-sized whiskey bottle. And the child decided that he was going to explore, so he went underneath the seat in front of him, came up back into his chair and the chair in front of him, and he found a quarter. And so I whispered over to him, keep that quarter because you're going to need it for therapy when you grow up.
Mm-hmm. Right. You're not supposed to say that to the children.
It's okay. He didn't speak Singapore.
I'm just saying. I just mentioned therapy and might want to save a little of that Fox money for Piper.
Yeah, he didn't speak Malay, so the kid didn't understand.
Thanks for ruining our vacation! Okay. Mommy issues. Mark in San Francisco on therapy as well. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
I just wanted to encourage you on your journey through talk therapy. I know it really helped me a lot. I did it for about 2 years, and now I believe that Al-Qaeda actually brought down the Twin Towers and that Obama was born in the USA.
Mm. Okay. All right. That was, I don't know what that's about.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, speaking of crazy, we forgot a Glenn Beck soundbite in Right Wing World.
Oh. Tell people to prepare. And you do it yourself. If everybody in your family says you're crazy, believe me. You don't even know. Nobody can call you crazy in your family more than my family calls me crazy. Who cares? You know what everybody got in my family for Christmas? 6 months to a year's worth of food. I have family members that didn't even call me to thank me.
Well, they can't call you from their bomb shelter full of canned
goods. Yeah, they can't call you from their fortified basement. They don't, you know, they can't get any reception on that satellite phone you gave them with the cans
and
of beans.
I said Lesser peas, not just the good ones, tiny baby ones.
Right.
All right. Wow. I'm
guessing that those relatives don't call him anyways.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Because
they stopped calling
back
him a long time ago.
Okay.
Right.
All right. By the way, 42% of Republican voters said they have ruled out voting for Sarah Palin already. Yikes. Republican voters.
Well,
that's because they're entranced by the sizzle of Tim Pawlenty.
Gas is $4 a gallon. Home prices are in the gutter. Our health care system, thanks to Obamacare, is more expensive and less efficient. Unemployment's back over 9%. Our national debt has skyrocketed. Our budget deficit has grown worse, and the jobs and manufacturing reports are grim. Now, if that was recovery, then our president needs to enter economic rehab.
Yeah, so Tim let the bridges fall where they may. Pawlenty, who's under the illusion that he will be president one day, is...
Yeah, infrastructure, I don't need no stinking infrastructure.
Has some sort of concept that his budget, which, by the way, would add $7.8 trillion to the budget.
Oh, that.
Not just in lost revenue. That's the thing. They think it's just lost revenue. It's not. He would actually blow a hole in the deficit because they don't care. He doesn't do math. He doesn't. He's running for vice president, and he doesn't even want that job.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to Joel in San Francisco on the on Wienergate real quick. Hello, Joel.
Yeah. I just want to say I was kind of surprised because I was in disagreement with Hal, who I... I think he's a paragon of rationality and non-denial politics.
Mm-hmm.
But in the case of Anthony Weiner, I think he should bite the bullet, and I think he should resign. And I think it was unfair to Ed for some of the people to say that he was, about Ed Schultz, that he was saying he should do it because of moral reasons. It was political reasons. We need to focus on the Paul Ryan plan, on how the Republicans have
was Ed's point. I think that it's a distraction. It puts Pelosi in a bad place. But I think what we were pointing out, Hal, is only that it just, there is such a double standard between the Republicans, the people they've listed in, like, stay in, like, Vitter. And
let the voters decide.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. They can vote him in and out. It's not a national issue.
Hal has a gig coming up.
Yeah, I'm at Pechanga Resort and Casino this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Oh, how do you like that?
How do you like them apples?
And then we're in Minneapolis next week.
Next
for
Saturday.
Sexy Liberal.
Go to sexyliberal.com. Those tickets will be gone. Go get it. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.